Let's take our Bibles once again. Turn to Luke 15. Luke 15. The Lord in verse 1 is speaking, verse 1 and 2, is speaking to two different groups. Luke 15, 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Two groups of people. One group that wanted to hear him, and the other group that wanted to gripe because he ate with sinners. Aren't you glad that he'll have communion with sinners? Now, the Lord taught these two groups out of parables. There's three parables that's listed in this 15th chapter. One of them about a lost sheep. One of them about a lost coin. And then the third one is about a lost boy, a son, a prodigal, that left home. He left home selfishly. He left home arrogantly. He left home ignorantly and was recovered by the grace of God. And with that son's recovery, the Lord taught something that is totally needful for us to hear. It's the difference between salvation by grace, and this boy's recovery, and the latter part of this chapter is man's foolish thoughts concerning salvation by his own works and the other boy. That's what this whole parable is about. The Lord, he taught two groups. A group of sinners, publicans and sinners, and a group of Pharisees. Now I want us to look at this parable for a few minutes. And we've looked at it before, but that's okay. Let's look at it again, and I pray the Lord be pleased to bless it. I'm going to pick up in chapter 15, verse 11. And here's the parable. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Now, these two boys belonged to this certain man, a certain man who is a representative of God the Father. Now, listen. God owns all souls. Now we know that. He said, all souls are mine. Soul of the Father, soul of the Son, they're mine. Almighty God has made all of us. And all souls are going to eventually be proven to be either the vessels of God's mercy or the vessels of God's wrath. Now that's, we know that from Scripture. There's only two different kinds of people in this world. It's not, you know, black, white, you know, that's true, but they're all either we're the Lord's in covenant mercy and grace, chosen in Christ, or we're left to ourselves. Now, we read that in Romans 9. I won't go back and read it again. And so the Scripture says that this man had two boys. They're his. We're all the Lord's. If we're not the Lord's in mercy and grace, we're the Lord's in creation for sure. So, I mean, we all belong to God. Well, the Scripture says in verse 12 and 13, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now here's the younger boy. Now this is a picture of God's people, God's elect. They're all of us coming to this world, fallen creatures. We're all dead, all of us. You say, well, God, you mean God's elect are dead? Yeah. Yeah, we're all born dead spiritually in trespasses and sins. We're all, Ephesians says, children of wrath, even as others. And again, I've told you, God's people have never been under the wrath of God. That means that we were all born with a wrathful attitude against God, children of wrath. And here we are, all of us. Now, this is the way we're all born. Presumptuous, believing Satan's lie that we're able to handle our own life on our own. We believe that. That's how we're born. We're born arrogant in what Satan promised that man would have if he would, you know, have if he'd eat of the fruit. Independent minded, meaning we hate God's rule over us, thinking that we can handle, we can be our own God. We're all distrustful of the Lord's promise of punishment, disobedience, and we all despise fellowship with God. We say, what do you mean? What did Adam and Eve do? When Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, what did they do? They hid. They hid from God. Now that's what we're all going to do. We all do that. Well, the scripture reveals that the father of these two boys gave that younger boy just exactly what he thought he desired. He did, really, but he thought, this is going to make me happy. You give me everything that's coming to me. And the scripture says that this boy, verse 13, he gathered it all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. This is the very heart of what Adam did, and all of us that come from Adam have done in the fall. Wasted our substance. What did Adam have before the fall? Well, he was made upright. He was made straight. He was moral, and he had fellowship with God. And what happened? It was gone. When he fell, it was gone. Man in Adam's fall wasted his substance, wasted life, he wasted joy, security, peace, comfort. For what? For an air castle. The cares of this world. The cares of this world at the expense of worshiping God and obedience to God. This is the way we all are. He gave it all up for something that's perishing. Well, verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now, when he spent all, Adam spent all, and we in Adam, we this is our attitude. And that one act of disobedience, stripped of everything that he ever possessed concerning God's kindness to man, and he just threw it away. That's us. That's us. So this boy, he spent it all. There was a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. Now here's this younger boy, beloved of his father. Whenever God's people are born into this world, now Jeremiah 31:3 relates how long God has loved his people. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. How long will it ever be before God will stop loving his own? And remember, God never changes. He always loved them. He always loves us. He's always loved his people in Christ. All that the Father has chosen and put in the Son, he loved them. He loved them. And he's always loved them. Now this boy is beloved of his father, but now he's in a place of famine and want. What does that mean? That's us, born into this world ignorant of our need. We're born without. I don't know what I need. What do I need to satisfy God? I don't know. And the sad part, I don't care. I said before, this is the way he's in a state, and he doesn't know the depth. I don't know the depth of my need apart from Christ. I don't know. All I know is that in Christ I have all I need. I know that. And I'm so thankful that God's not looking to me to produce it, Fred. What would I do? Where would I start? This boy's in need. He's all of us lost in trespasses and sin, without hope and without God in this world, alienated from God, no peace, spiritual famine. And verse 15 says, and he went and he joined himself to a citizen. Now here's something that was real eye-opening to me when I was reading it again. Joined him to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, this boy, he's in a state of famine, want. But now remember, this is a picture. This is a picture of us spiritually by nature. And what he does was he's gonna straighten up and fly right. He's gonna reform. His conscience starts bothering him. Why does anybody, you know, want to join themselves to any assembly? Whenever you get in trouble, I mean, everybody, you know, if you get in jail or something, it just, you always, I got a friend, and he was in prison, and he told me, he said, I tell you what, he said, it's amazing to me how many people in prison find God while they're in trouble. There's a conscience. A man's got a conscience. And here this younger boy, his son, he realizes that he's in trouble. I don't have any more money. I've spent it. It was fun for a while. But now I'm in trouble. And he knows he's wrong. His something is wrong here, but he does what every depraved heart demands. I'm gonna turn over a new leaf. And so he goes and he joins himself to a citizen of that country, going into being sent out to feed swine. Now, as I was going over my notes this morning and reading this passage of scripture, I'm gonna just touch for just a second on my own personal testimony. And I'm just going to tell you I'm just going to mention a couple of things about myself. Not many, but just a couple. I can enter in a little bit personally to what's going on right here. You find yourself in trouble. Find yourself in need. And the best thing to do, and this is what I did. I figured the best out for me was to let's go ahead and start going to church. That'll help me tremendously. And found that there was somebody that I admired, somebody that had a kind of a charismatic spirit about him, not religiously speaking, but he was just a preacher. And I thought, you know what, maybe this is a way to get me out of this mess. And I can, you know, so I kind of joined myself with him. He was a friend to me, and I was trying to be a friend to him. And this very thing, sent him into his fields to feed swine. I started preaching. I was going to preach, and I preached everything I knew, which was nothing. Never sat under the gospel, never heard the gospel of God's grace. But it was a message that, you know, and I was out, Sean, feeding, putting out swine food. That's what I was doing. Doing just exactly what this, you know, it was a nice guy, upright, moral, everything. Sitting under a false religion, proclaiming a false gospel. But by the grace of God, being just exactly in verse 16, the fain had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. Here was a boy doing just exactly what I can relate to. Just feigning to fill my belly with what I thought was the truth. And I meant it. I was sincere. But the bottom line was this. In my heart, I didn't know the truth, but I knew that what I was beholding in other people. In my mind, I'll go ahead and tell you what I'm thinking right now. We were playing baseball one day. Had a bunch of these fellas that I always, you know, I was going to church. And, you know, we had a church team. And here was one of them. And Buddy, he was, you know, we'd gotten the other team out. And he was running in from the outfield just like me. And I can still see him right now. And he was just, you know, he said, "Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, amen, brother. How about you?" And I thought, I don't feel that. I don't feel that. I would desire if I did feel that, but I didn't feel that. There was no fire in my heart. It was fake. It was all fake. Now I'm just sharing with you me. It was nothing. It was nothing. It was all show, and it was, and I this boy, he went out into the fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I didn't have any hope. I didn't have any peace. I didn't have any comfort. What I was hearing did absolutely nothing for me. But it was all I knew. I didn't know anything. I'm in trouble, but I don't know. I just, religion's got to be it. And the scripture says in verse 17, and when he came to himself. Now I'll tell you, in the time of love, and here's the Lord speaking. In the time of love, that little baby, that was navel wasn't cut over in Ezekiel, and he was wasn't supple. Nobody, there was no pity. And the Lord walked by and he said, "Live. Live." When it pleased God to come to this self-righteous sinner and show mercy, this boy came to himself, not because there was anything in him to cause him to come to himself, but Almighty God was pleased to cross his path with the Spirit of God and impart life to him. Now here's when a man or woman starts to think differently. Whenever God Almighty comes to him, and when he says, Ezekiel 36, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you." There, that boy began to truly see not just his physical condition. I'm out of money, nobody likes me, I'm just out of here, all I got to eat is this. He was in trouble. But when God Almighty showed him his true condition, spiritually, before God, there that boy sees his condition and separation from the one that he knew loved him, truly loved him. Wasn't trying to just see what he'd get out of him. He knew and remembered, came to himself and said, "How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. A vessel of God's mercy, according to the timing and purpose of Almighty God, begins to realize the fruitlessness of hearing that which is not scriptural, which doesn't honor God. He realizes it, and he knows now that what he's been doing has been feeding others nothing more than husk, swine, pig food. And now he, in regenerating grace and power, desires the true bread of heaven. Now he knows that this glorious gospel of God's free grace that honors the Son, honors God, and it gives God all the glory and honor and praise. And what he does when he comes to himself, you know what he says? I can't stay here anymore. I can't do this anymore. Look at 18 to 20. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him. Now, he didn't leave like this. He left in an arrogant, disrespectful, self-righteous, haughty. I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. Now here's the evidence of God's grace. A new heart made willing in the day of God's power. A boy that's now willing to say, I can't stay. I can't listen to this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I'm going back. I'm going to where, here's the rescuing, here's the recovery we looked at in the first message of Jacob. This is a recovery. All born lost, and he come back and he's honest. Now he's honest. I have sinned against heaven, and I've done it before you. I've done it in your sight. And I'm not worthy. Just make me to be found among those that don't have any wealth. Make me as one of your servants. Those that can't take care of themselves, that's got to be provided for by their master, you know. But the scripture says, while he was a great way off, how far off did the Lord see his people? He's always seen them. He saw them in the fall. He saw them in the rebellion. Oh, my. I could write a book. I know you could too. He saw him. He fell a great way off. And this boy, he's coming, and now he's gonna start going ahead and just be honest about him. Just tell his daddy, this is what I've done. This is what a sinner rescued from the pit, despair of his sin does. He gets honest. He doesn't start talking about all that he's done and he's righteous. What? I have sinned against you. He's broken. And that boy starts to rehearse his story. He wants to get it out. And his daddy won't even let him. The father had compassion on him. He ran, he fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, the love of God to his own. Those found to be in his only begotten son. And what zeal the Lord sets forth concerning the return of his people. And that boy, he here again, verse 21, he keeps talking, I've sinned against heaven, I've done it in your sight, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. And this is the lot of every rescued sinner, saved by the grace of God. Lord, I don't want to keep, I don't want to stop telling you what I am. This is what I am. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And the scripture says, while he's talking, his daddy says in verse 22, he said to the servants, you bring forth the best robe, you put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and you put some shoes on his feet. This boy right here, this is my son. It's my boy. And you put that symbol, you put that ring on his finger of the crest of this family, sealed by the Spirit of God. the household of faith, the emblem of the marriage between Christ and His bride. When Glenda and I was going to get married, I bought them. This y'all all did this too, but that's okay. I get to say it. I bought her a ring. I asked her, I said, "You marry me?" She said, "Yeah." Gave her a ring. That ring's a symbol. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of my love and commitment to her. You put a ring on this boy's feet. You put some shoes on his feet. Here he is barefooted. But you cover his feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let this boy is going to walk like my son. This is my son. We walk as a child of God. And the foundation of that mercy that was shown to him, look at verse 23, 24. "And you bring hither the fatted calf, you kill it. Let us eat and be merry. This my son was dead, he's alive again, he was lost, he's found." And they began to be merry. You know, there's joy in heaven over the recovery of one sinner. Look, we're in Luke 15. Look at verse 7. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Can you imagine? When God Almighty calls out one of His elect, the Scripture says there's joy in heaven over that. Oh, may the Lord give me a heart to realize when somebody comes up, tells me, said, "I hear what you're saying. I want to confess the Lord you're preaching." My heart rejoices. They rejoice in heaven. Oh, but there was two groups. Now that's how God saves His people from their sins. But the Lord was talking in closing to two groups. He was talking to some publicans and sinners that wanted to hear Him. And this is what a sinner wants to do. "You tell me one more time how God put away my sin. You tell me that again. I know I heard it before, but tell me again. I want to hear it one more time. Tell me one more time. How, because I..." But he had another boy. And now he's talking to these Pharisees. These Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Verse 25 to 32, and I'll close. "Now his elder son was in the field. And he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard the music dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry. He would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found.'" Now here's, again, remember I told you, all souls are the Lord's. Some in grace, some in creation, but they're all the Lord's. And here's one that by his actions is a son only in creation, not a son in mercy. He's like all of us that once were religiously found to be having a profession only, but didn't possess a nature of adoption and joy and the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. Here was a boy that pictured the Pharisees. They were murmurers and complainers against God showing mercy and grace to whomsoever He will. He heard the music and the rejoicing, and many hear the glorious gospel of God's free grace. And he asked his servant, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, your brother, that brother that went off. Remember him? He went off. Now he's come back, and your daddy killed the fatted calf, and he was mad. That fatted calf that pictured the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he would not go in. And he started accusing his daddy. What are you doing? All these many years I've served you. And he started listing all the things, of the reasons why his daddy ought to look at him and have some respect for him. He had, I tell you what he did. He kept a good record of all of his righteousnesses. Like those in Matthew 7 that stand before the Lord. I've done this and this and that. You know, I've been faithful. I've never transgressed in word or deed. I deserve everything because of my faithfulness. And you never did this for me. Oh. You never gave a sacrifice for me. But as soon as this, not my brother, but as soon as your son, he wants to have nothing to do with him. And you showed him mercy and compassion. And he wasted everything. And you're going to show mercy to him? You're going to receive him back? After what he's done, man by nature hates God's sovereign mercy. Hates it. And listen to this scathing rebuke. Verse 31. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now what in the world can that mean? Well, let me read these two scriptures for a minute and I'll hush. In Genesis chapter 27, the scripture declares, Genesis 27, that Jacob, one of the boys of Isaac, was blessed. And then Esau, the other son of Isaac, was blessed. And they both received a blessing. Now, whenever this daddy told him, he said, Son, all I got is yours. All I got is yours. Listen to these two blessings. Genesis 27, and in verse 26, this is when Jacob blessed, Isaac blessed Jacob. And Jacob received, he received the blessing by God's grace. Genesis 27, 26. Now, the scripture says, his father Isaac said unto him, you remember when Jacob came before him, he's got on his brother Esau's clothes, and Isaac smells him. He said, you Esau, right? And the scripture says, and his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. He came near, kissed him. He smelled the smell of his raiment, blessed him, said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, now listen to the blessing that Jacob got. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, the plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations shall bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Here he is. Jacob is a picture of Christ. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed is everyone that curseth thee, and blessed is he that blesseth thee. Now that's the blessing. That picture right there of Jacob's blessing, that was that blessing that recovered son got. But now this father had also told the other one. He said, now everything I got is yours. What did he mean? In creation. The scripture says in Genesis 27, 38 to 41 that Esau, now Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, but Esau got a blessing. Listen to what he got. Genesis 27 verse 38. Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy back. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then will I slay my brother Jacob. Now, this boy at his daddy, he told his daddy, he said, I'm not going in. I'm not, that mercy that you shown my brother, your son, I ain't going in. And his daddy told him, he said, boy, everything I got is yours. Men outside of Christ, women outside of Christ, they have the blessing of this time right here, the blessing of this earth. This is the dew, the rain, the sun shines on the evil and the wicked. All men's going to have a blessing. But only those found in Christ are going to receive the blessing of God's mercy, grace, and compassion. This boy that would not go in, he didn't go in because he didn't want to go in. I pray that the Lord teach us afresh. God saves sinners. Sinners. Those that do nothing but sin. That's all they can do. May the Lord have mercy on this sinner. For His glory and my good. Amen.